I wonder who's going to be talking about this meeting 100 years from now. Wow, we're going to be, oh, man. Woo, we got a meeting. April 29th, 2018, Urban Mission. My great-grandmother or grandfather was in that meeting. They were in the meeting. Something happened. Something happened. They got transformed. They got transformed. It's so powerful. You think, and you know, I'm sure if John G. Lake, unless he was really flowing in the Spirit, probably looked at that guy, and said, you know, maybe he saw the bottle of booze in his back pocket, and he might have thought to himself, that man doesn't have much potential. Let's laugh at that. Ha, ha, ha. That man doesn't have much potential. You know, we never know who's around us. You know, Samuel went to Jesse's house, 1 Samuel 16. He said, Jesse, I want you to pick the next king. So he had all of Jesse's sons were there, and he thought he saw one guy. I think his name is Eliab. He said, surely that's the one. Ha ha. The Lord says, nope, mm-mm. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. There's people in this room, the world has said you're disqualified. The world has said you don't have what it takes. And I've got good news for you. God loves to take people like you and do what the experts say can't be done. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I was in a meeting. I love giving personal prophetic words, just saying, Lord, what are you saying to people? I was in a meeting a while ago, and I gave a guy a mediocre word. Ha ha. Because I looked at him, I said, well, that guy probably, you know, I don't want him to get his hopes up too much. Ha ha. So I just give him kind of a little encouraging word. And then later on, I find out he's a millionaire, got all these things going on in his life. God's already using him powerfully. And the Lord said, Steve, did you learn anything there? Yes, Lord, I did. Steve, that's not going to happen again? No, Lord, no. So I live in Redding, California. My wife and I have got 3 kids, 7 grandkids on staff at a place called Bethel Church. Some of you definitely are aware of that. Just a great, great things are happening there, and get to travel about half the year. My assignment, and love to see what God's doing. And just, our ministry is called Igniting Hope Ministries, and we have a mandate to ignite hope. That's our assignment. There's no hopeless circumstances. There's only hopeless people. Once people get true hope, circumstances cannot stay the same. Somebody's got to be hoping. Somebody's got to be, you know, unreasonably optimistic for themselves, for others, for their cities. Somebody. And you know who that somebody is? It's you. Yep, just say it's me. Yep. And you know, when you start talking about hope, you also start talking about joy. Because wherever hope is, true joy is. Man, I really like that declaration on joy, by the way, Dave. That was a good one. Man, that's a... Whew, I like it. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, it says Nehemiah 8:10. Proverbs 17:22 says a merry heart is good like what? Medicine. Now, one thing I love to do is I like to have people laugh. How many know God invented laughter? And he does not regret it. And laughter is one of the ways to help us stay healthy. Emotionally, mentally, and physically. And I got a revelation. I heard a statistic that said little children laugh on average of 400 times a day. Someone say yay. And that the same study said adults laugh only 15 times a day. Somebody say boo. Boo. Now, I wanna grow up and become childlike. I've tried being dignified as a Christian, and it's way overrated. Ha ha. Dignified. Oh, yes. Ha ha. Oh, yes. Yes. Amen. Brother, you're excited now. But one day, you'll become mature. Like me. No, thank you. Matthew 18:3 says, unless you're converted and become as a little child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. There's many things in kingdom life that we cannot enter into unless we become childlike. There's many things we can't see, we can't enter into. And so I said, Lord, I want to laugh 400 times a day minimum as part of my health and well-being and longevity plan. Yes, I said, Lord, do you have any suggestions for how I can do this? And he says, yes, Steve, do what I do. I said, Lord, what do you do? He showed me Psalm 2:4. It says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. He who sits in the heavens laugh. How many of you want to be more like God here? Yeah, thank you for those hands. I'm setting you up. And the question is, Heather, what is God laughing at in Psalm 2:4? Some say he's laughing at us. Maybe true, but it's not the context. The context is he's laughing at what his enemies are saying and planning. God laughs in heaven. You know, someone says, hey, Heavenly Father, here's just a few things the devil's saying and planning. Could you just read through that? And I'll just be the Heavenly Father just for this illustration. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hey, Holy Spirit, look at this. I'm a spiritual experimenter. I've done things I've never, ever heard any other Christian do. By the way, I release spiritual experimentation over you. There's no progress unless somebody's trying something new. There's no progress unless somebody's thinking of a better way to do things. I mean, there's people in this room thinking of better ways to pray. There's people in this room thinking of better ways to heal relationships. There's people in this room thinking of better ways to release miracles. That's how people wonder, how can we do this better? Those kind of people who have hope, who actually believe there's a better way to do it, find better ways. Imagine that. So I'm a spiritual experimenter. I said, I'm an experiment. Well, if God's laughing at what his enemies are saying, and the devil's my enemy, and the devil's the father of all lies, then I'm going to do an experiment, and I'm going to laugh at the lies that he's trying to get me to believe. And I found out, wow, it's really powerful. Yeah, because lies sound really real in the darkness of our thinking, but they're laughable when you bring them out to the light of language and words. So I love to laugh at lies. Now, we've been doing it this weekend. Some of you are, you know, this is the first time you've heard me speak, so I'm just going to kind of bring you into the experiment. So we're going to laugh here in a moment. But before we do, why don't you just warm up your laughers? Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Because I wouldn't want anybody to laugh suddenly and pull a laugh muscle. Ha, ha. We wouldn't want that, would we, Heather? No, you know, because someone had to stop the service. Someone pulled a laugh muscle. I mean, that'd be, you know, have to bring out the healing team. And so we just want to, we don't want that to happen, do we? We want to keep a flow, flow happening. So let me just, I'm going to give you just a few lies. Do an experiment and laugh. Just see what happens. You guys ready? Yeah. Let's laugh at this lie. God loves you, but he does not like you. He only loves you because he has to. But he does it begrudgingly. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Here's a good one. We did some of these yesterday, but they're just so good. We got to do them again. God is not going to provide for your needs in the future. Let's give an extra laugh on that one. Here's one. You do not have what it takes to succeed. Ha ha ha. Some of these lies are a little deeper. You know, you're kind of going after deeper lies, and you're kind of getting delivered. Here's a good lie. Urban Mission is an insignificant church in worldwide revival. New Jersey is an impossible state for worldwide revival to break out from. I know that's a good one. Matter of fact, God doesn't even like New Jersey. And then the one of the devil's all-time favorite lies. Can you share this lie, Heather? One of the devil's all-time favorite lies. Do you know that what that one is?
Laughter from the church is from the devil. Laughter from the church is from the devil. In the church is from the devil.
Thank you for that contribution. Thank you. We appreciate that. One of the books I wrote is called Let's Just Laugh at That for Kids. Now, I got part one and part two back there. We just finished part two. Now, there's 20 lies. Actually, this book has five laughter weapons. It's got the giggle grenade, the ha-ha hammer, and this is my favorite, the laugh-a-sheen gun. The laugh-a-sheen gun. That's a good one. The laughter boots and the laughter blaster. And it uses the power of laughter to break off just bad beliefs. You know, actually, I look at some of these lies that kids are tempted to believe, and I say, man, I'm tempted to believe these. These sound kind of true. Let's just laugh at some of these lies in here. My attitude doesn't affect others. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha ha. How about this one? My feelings never lie to me. Ha 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 ha. Let's give an extra laugh on that one. My feelings never lie to me. Ha ha. That's hilarious. I do not have to honor my brother or sister. Ha ha. Anybody got a child 6 through 10? Or a grandchild that age? Anybody? You do. Is it a grandchild? Or what's a grandchild's name? Liddy? You're welcome. What's your name, by the way? Thelma? Wow. You know what I hear over you, Thelma? I hear that you've got a powerful mother's heart and that your prayers are more powerful than you think. God's doing things around you bigger than you know. And I see the Lord giving you an idea. I see the Lord giving you an idea that's going to change everything. That's what I hear over you. Bless you. I had a dog when we were in Nevada. We pastored in rural Nevada from 1991 to 2001. I had a dog there. His name was Snoopy. And, you know, Al, I want to tell you a little bit about Snoopy. You know, Al, some people called Snoopy fat, but we called him big boned. Snoopy was a white-yellow lab. And I'm exaggerating here, but Snoopy slept about 22 hours a day. Slept at our house, had a tough life. And we had to be careful of one thing regarding Snoopy. We had a leash. Snoopy's leash was in the laundry room. And it was on a shelf in the laundry room. And if we moved anything else on the laundry room shelf and the leash moved, I mean, just a millimeter, it would seem. I mean, I don't care if Snoopy was sleeping with snoring and twitching. Snoopy's ears were always attuned for the good news of the leash moving. Because that was good news. And if Snoopy heard, you know, if Snoopy heard the leash move, Heather, you know, I mean, that was, Snoopy would be like shot out of a cannon. I mean, and Snoopy would run into the laundry room, often with leaping. And who said white dogs can't jump? And Snoopy, we weren't planning on taking Snoopy for walks. We're just trying to get something off the laundry room shelf, and Snoopy comes in and believes in the goodness of his masters. He believes his masters are good. And we would look at Snoopy, and we, you know, if we're both in the room, we look and we'd say, we have to take this guy for a walk. We have to do it. I mean, he's look how excited he is. We can't disappoint him. And Snoopy pulled future walks into his present experience. Walks that were planned for the future got pulled into his present. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Woo. Yeah, and it made me think, wow. You know, there's people in the Bible who pulled future things that were reserved for the future into their present. Made me think, wow, there's people who did it. Snoopy did it. And I think I'm going to do it. I mean, Abraham, he in the Old Testament, believed God at such a level that it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. The Lord just, he gave him a New Testament experience of being righteous through faith in the Old Testament. Someone say, wow. I mean, he got a hold of something. David understood that, you know, worship wasn't sacrificing bulls and goats and animals, but that it was a heart issue, and he got a hold of something in the Old Testament that was actually not time yet. Not time. Someone just go, And God says he's a man after his own heart. This guy who killed somebody? Committed adultery, somehow he got a hold of something that so touched the heart of God that God says, you're the man after my own heart. I think of, the first miracle that Jesus did. John 2, they're at a wedding. They run out of wine. Jesus' mom says, hey, Jesus, do something. Jesus says, it's not time for miracles yet. Let's laugh it up. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. It's not time yet. It's not time. And Mary, mom, just ignores Jesus. I'm not preaching you should ignore Jesus, but it worked for Mary. Ignore what he said here, because their miracle is going to happen here. And it did. And Mary's response pulled future miracles into present experience. Yeah, there's a woman called the Syrophoenician woman, a non-Jew, who said she needed healing, and I think it was for her daughter. And Jesus said, "I'm only coming for the Jewish people now. It's not your time yet." And then she said, "Hey, how about, you know, if there's some crumbs from the table, Even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. And Jesus heard that and said, "Miracle now." She pulled future miracle into her present experience. You know, one thing that really bothers me about theologians is theologians seem to put all the good promises in the Bible in the millennium. The millennium is a thousand-year period that is in Revelation that, you know, just talks about the reign of Christ on the earth. And so, I mean, seems like theologians, they say, well, that promise is too good to be true. Now, millennium, put it there. That's impossible, millennium. In a time period that we have no responsibility for. And even if it's in there, I don't believe that's true, by the way, but even if it was true, we could pull something in the millennium and now. Someone just go, And I just, you know what I'm hearing over you? By the way, let's laugh at this. What city are we in? Okay, Jersey City. Okay. Got to get my geography right. Yeah, Jersey. Let's just laugh at this. It's not time yet for revival in Jersey City. It's not time yet. Well, even if it wasn't time, it's time. I release the Snoopy anointing over you. You know, for a jangle in the spirit, for just a jangle in the spirit. It's like, I love it says in Mark 4:24, it says, take heed what you hear. And it goes on to say, with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. It talks about future abundance being tied to what we hear. That's why, you know, that's why coming to church is such a good idea. That's why being around a prophetic culture where people are actually telling us who we really are is such a good idea, because we got to be careful what we hear. Because if we don't hear the right thing, we'll hear the wrong thing. We'll hear the accuser of the brethren who will tell us who we're not, what we can't do, you know, with his lies. And so what we hear is absolutely crucial to what we're going to experience. You know, I shared about Gideon in Judges 6. Many of you know the story of a man who didn't know who he was in the Old Testament. He didn't know he was a great leader. He was in a very difficult situation, and the angel tells him, "You're a mighty warrior." He heard something higher than what he was experiencing, which is what we got to do. We got to hear something higher than what we were experiencing. And I love also, it says in Luke 8:18, it says, take heed how you hear. So it says in Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear. In Luke 8:18, it says, take heed how you hear. How? Now, that's why, you know, how many of you know that some Christians have become sermon-proof? They're sermon-proof Christians. Their theme song is, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Yeah, bless God. I'm a good Christian. I'm in church. Yes, amen. There's a check mark after my name. I came to church this week. I'm good. Ha ha. Listen, there's many reasons we come to church. One of them is to actually hear. Is to hear. Because, you know, Hebrews 5, the writer of Hebrews going into this whole deep thing about a guy named Melchizedek, you know, some deep stuff about Jesus, comparing him to this Old Testament character called the Melchizedek. I mean, it's deep, it's theological waters. And then he stops. He says, I got a lot of things to say, but I can't say anymore because you've become dull of hearing. Someone just go, boo, boo. dull of hearing. You become dull. You need someone to go teach you the elementary principles of the faith again. And you know, I thought about that. You know, dull of hearing. You know, that dull of hearing is one of our enemies. But I'll tell you this. If we actually keep the wonder on that, man, I is today the day I'm going to hear it? Whew, what am I going to hear today? What am I going to hear? Because that expectancy of hearing something. If you could be in the most, you could hear the most boring sermon of the history of sermons. Let's laugh at that. If you have the Snoopy anointing, you'll hear something. You go, whoo, wow. I heard that. Well, I didn't hear it. No, there's something there. There's something there for us. And it's even the same thing with testimonies. Some Christians have become testimony proof. Yep. We just had a testimony. Someone just got their head reattached. Yeah. And every testimony has the power in it of something incredible for your own life. That's why I love, you know, the Bethel culture at, you know, in Reading. One of the things they train the students and all of us on, when we hear a testimony, get excited. Clap. Woo! Yes! A headache got healed! Headache got healed! Woo! Because what it does is it trains you for how to hear. It trains us how to hear. And that whole thing of hearing, and you know, again, one of the reasons that we don't want to hear is because sometimes we just get afraid to get our hopes up again. Because if something's going to happen, something has to be spoken. And James 3 says our words are like a rudder on a ship and a bit in a horse's mouth. Words direct our lives. Whew. So I had him say many times in that meeting, a number of times, in Manchester, I'll never be the same again. There was a worship leader who was there who wrote an email to me 2 years after that meeting and gave me this testimony. She said, when you told us to say, I'll never be the same again, I said to myself, I'm not going to say that. Ha ha. No, I'm not going to say that. I've been there. I mean, there's the most important things we need to say, by the way, will be the hardest to say. The most important things we need to say will be the hardest to say. Because we'll know what our strongholds are in our thinking by what's difficult for us to say. And she said, I said I'm not going to say it. But then she wrote, I finally said it. Ha ha. And she said, you know what, Steve? I was never the same again after that meeting. Someone go, wow. Someone go, yay. Woo! What a testimony. What a testimony. Someone who said, you know, they probably didn't know about the Snoopy anointing. Maybe you don't even need to know about it to activate it. To where? You know, we can be kind of, you know, even spiritually, you know, slumbering. And we hear something. Whew, you know, what am I going to hear today? What's going to be said? What am I going to hear in worship? What am I going to hear as I make those declarations? What's going to stand out? Whew, wow, something. That phrase stood out to me. It's always amazing, by the way, just as a side note. And this room is filled with Holy Spirit influencers. This room is just filled with leaders. You know, one of the things that it's so fun to do as a leader is just note what God's on. I love to just listen to people and then just say, Holy Spirit, show me what sentence you're really on. What and because you'll know, you're just listening, poop, something at you. You just, it's an aha. Ooh, that's good. That's really good. But you know why it's really good? Because God, it's good for you. It's good for the season you're in. It's good for the group you're in. And you start noticing those things. And then that starts training us to hear with incredible hearing. And so I say, thank you, Lord, even in this meeting. And I'm going to ask you at the end of this meeting, by the way, what stood out to you? What phrase? What did you hear? What got you excited? And some of you are gonna raise your hand. I'll call on you. You'll say it, and it's part of your training. Because if we can't identify what God's saying to us, we're gonna have difficulty having victory. Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God." So the quality of my life depends on my identifying what's God saying. What's he saying around? What's he saying to me? What's he saying to the city? And what he's saying is going to be, it's going to sound for me, it's too good to be true. Should not be so optimistic. Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, there's two Greek words that are translated in English, two main Greek words translated into English for the English word word. One's logos, one's rhema. Now, logos is basically the whole Bible. It's actually Jesus. It's John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God." That's a great verse, by the way, right there. Whew, that's foundational. The Logos is the overall Word of God. Now, Rhema is an individual part of the Word of God that God makes real to us, that we use as a sword. Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," every rhema, "that proceeds in the mouth of God." We live by what God tells us. Aha moments. Now, and in Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God." Take up, fight. Fight with words God gives you. Fight with them. By the way, it's called a sword because you're supposed to kill something with it. Not people. Want to clarify? But kill something. Kill pessimism. By the way, somebody in the room is getting delivered from pessimism. Somebody in this room is getting delivered from pessimism. Your pessimism isn't the result of circumstances. It's a result of believing lies. Isn't a circumstance? It's what you're believing that's the problem. And in this meeting, you're getting an impartation to believe higher. I get to kill discouragement. I get to kill victim mindsets. Boom, I'm a victim of things going on. Let's laugh at that. Ha, 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 ha. It may feel like it, but it's not true. Because the Bible says you are more than a conqueror. Doesn't sound like a victim to me. I remember in the 90s, I was battling discouragement in a big way. I'm pastoring a church. And I felt like a failure. Let's laugh at that. Ha, ha, ha. I felt like a failure. Now, didn't see anything around me that was really happening, and I felt like quitting my church leadership. So I'm talking to God. I'm saying, "God, I need a word. I had a word in the past that got me to this position, but that word now is not strong enough. Circumstances are bigger than that word." Ha, 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 ha. Yep. I need a word. So in prayer, I had a thought. It was a good thought. Steve, I have not called you to fail. I've called you to succeed. That's a good thought, but it still wasn't big enough. It was a logos to me. It was a logo. That's a good word. Yeah, but logos, you can hear the word, but it doesn't penetrate. It doesn't overcome the stuff, the big stuff in our life. So I don't even tell anybody that word. I go to a pastor prayer meeting, and I tell them, I'm battling discouragement. Will you pray for me? They gather around me. They lay hands on me. The first guy who prays says this, Father, I thank you that you haven't called Steve to fail. You've called him to succeed. Someone say, wow, wow, woo-hoo! I thought to myself, that's God. That has to be God. That has to be. That's not just a good thought, that's God. I got a rhema word. And I started fighting with it. Someone just go, rah, 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 rah. I started killing some stuff with that. Woke up in the morning, you know, I didn't feel victorious. Still felt like a loser. Yeah. I said, no! God has not called me to fail. He's called me to succeed. 30 minutes later, that thing would try to get on me. You know that what that thing is? You know, that spirit of heaviness. Ah, we don't like that. Amen. Preach it, Ronnie. She says, the violent take it by force. Yeah, she's, woo! You know, I said that maybe 50 times a day in the beginning. God has not called me to fail. He's called me to succeed. See, there's a part of me that didn't want to believe it. The stronghold of my mind. That's not true. That's not true for you. But it was true. It was true. I started fighting. By the way, some of us in this room just need to get mad. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. One of the reasons we get angry at the wrong people is we're not getting angry at the right things. I remember I played football. I remember as a freshman in high school, I was playing football. I liked football, but I did not like physical contact. So my goal was not to get hit. You know, so just kind of, you know, just you're trying to avoid contact. And, you know, these mean guys on the team, they were intimidating. They saw me and they just loved it. Just, when I wasn't looking, just knocked me on my rear end. You know? And, you know, I remember one practice that happened and where I got knocked on my rear end. And something snapped in a good way. I got up. I said, I'm not taking this anymore. So I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not waiting to get hit. I'm going to hit somebody. I said, I'm going to bring it. I'm going to bring it. You know, I want people to on my team and other teams to have to constantly be looking on the corner of their eye. Where's Backlund? where is he? Yeah. where is he? And I remember that something and it was like I just something shifted in me, and I started instead of just, you know, oh, I gotta hope nothing bad happens, and I hope I don't get hit. You know, I said, I'm gonna be on the offensive, not on the defensive. Actually, and it became pretty good at football and really enjoyed it from that point on. But it was kind of like the same way in the spirit for me. Well, I hope the devil's not around today. I hope I have a good day. Hope I don't see that person today. I hope I don't have any negative emotions come on me today. I want a good day. Let's laugh at that. Ha, 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 ha. Some of us have just been knocked on our spiritual rear end every day. Yeah, yep, again, that's just home, man. I was hoping I wouldn't get that wouldn't happen. Ha, ha. Some of us just need to get mad. Somebody just go, rah! Ah! Just get mad. We do. Some of us got kind of a low-grade, you know, dripping faucet in the back of our spirit, just low-grade discouragement. Just low-grade, yeah, drip, drip, yep, yeah, you know, just walking around kind of hoping there'll be a good service so that faucet gets shut off. Hoping somebody says something so I can get free of that. I'll tell you this. You know, one of the things the Lord has in our lives is that he just teaches us how to encourage ourselves. One of the things we've got to learn is actually how to encourage ourselves. And there's times in our life where we just have to say, I am going to start speaking God's promises over my life. 2 Peter 1:4 says, he's given us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these we might participate in the divine nature. You say, well, I don't know very many promises. Just, they're so easy to find right now. Just do an online search, Bible promises. You'll find so many. It's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. But many of you in the room know some good ones. Just start speaking the basics. Like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just start and speaking. Man, you start speaking that promise out. How many of you know all things is a lot of things? I mean, there's no limit on what you can do. Woo! Someone get happy in this room. I mean, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. How many of them? All. I mean, that's not just financial, that's emotional, that's relational, that's protection, that's need for ideas. Man, boy, you start speaking, God's going to meet all my needs. Woo! Yep, according to his riches and glory. Man, I mean, it's not according to the economy. Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. How many things work together for good?
All.
How many is that? That's all of them. When we turn our hearts to the Lord, he supernaturally turns everything in our past to good. The bad stuff that happened to us that we didn't want to have happened, the bad choices that we made, whoo, that's turned to good. Wow, that gets me excited. Yeah, God's so good at turning negatives into positives that people have created theologies that he sent the negative in the first place. God's so good at turning negatives into positives that people have created theologies that he sent the negative in the first place. For instance, like people say, well, God sent that cancer. Well, God doesn't have cancer to send. Ha, ha, ha. He doesn't have cancer. There's no cancer in heaven. Ha, ha. Oh, I could go on a rampage for another hour, but I'll start to land this plane. Starting to see the runway. Yes, we're on our descent. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know, I'm not a devil-focused Christian. I'm a belief-focused Christian. I don't want to be ignorant about the devil, but I don't talk about the devil hardly at all. But I talk about what I believe all the time. Because Jesus said in John 8:32, the truth will make you free. If I believe truth, I'm free. And if I'm free, it doesn't sound like the devil's bugging me very much. Just a thought. Even to put on the full armor of God in Ephesians 6, you got to believe something. Get those pieces on. But I was thinking about the devil a while back, and I've come up with a good biography title for the devil. You want to hear? Here it is. Here's the biography title for the devil. It backfired again. It backfired again. I mean, the normal story in hell is this. Well, we don't have to worry about her anymore. It's all over. It's all over. And then 6 months later, a bomb hits hell. What was that? Well, Mr. Devil. That was, you know, the one you said we don't have to worry about anymore? The things that have happened to her that she have actually turned out for good. She's stronger than ever, and that bomb that hit us was from her. I mean, you know, how many know the ultimate backfire was when the devil thought he killed Jesus? Ha ha. He didn't kill Jesus. Jesus laid his life down. But the devil didn't get it. If he would have got it, he would have killed all the Jews and the Romans. Kill the Jews, kill the Romans. We cannot let him die. Because if we let him die, I'm not going to have one problem. I'm going to have millions. But the devil didn't get it. He has short-term thinking. He doesn't get it. And, I mean, I'm sure after Jesus died, they were throwing a party in hell. Probably saying things like, it is finished. You like that, Daniel? Yeah, I thought you might like that one. It is finished. And, you know, they're throwing a party, and then there's a knock. Let me see if I can do a knock. There's a knock on hell's door. Someone say backfire. And there's a lot of videos I want to see when I get to heaven. But this is one of them. When hell's door opens. And the party comes to a shrieking halt. And Jesus says, I want the keys back. I want the keys. Adam and Eve gave you the keys. Woo! Now, I'm coming because I'm going to give the keys to my church. The keys of the kingdom. Wow, that's why the devil could offer Jesus the kingdoms in the temptation in Matthew 4. Because he had the keys then. But he doesn't have them now. Just say, the devil doesn't have them now. So good. So, you know, just the promises of God that all things work together for good. Man, you know, there's a couple more I want to mention. Philippians 1:6, Paul said this. He said, I'm confident of this thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Man, you know, I got a great promise for you. What God started in you, he's going to finish. Woo! As an individual, as a ministry. Man, you start believing God's promises. Wow. I mean, you know, my faith is not in my ability to get it right. My faith is in his ability to finish what he started in me. How many know that's a better place to have faith? Wow, wow, wow. And then James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives what? Stingily? Generously, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Wow. Man, if you don't know what to do, God says ask him and you'll know what to do. Why don't you say this? I will always know what to do. Why don't you say this? We will always know what to do. It's amazing. Those who believe they'll know what to do will know what to do. That's how that works. People who believe they know what to do will know what to do. Those who don't believe they'll know what to do probably won't know what to do. I say, I'm not going to believe I'll know what to do until I know what to do. Let's laugh at that. It's not how this thing works. How this thing works is you believe and you see. I used to say, well, when I see, then I'll believe. Yes, amen. I'm a great man of faith. Lord says, nope, you're just a great man of fact. Not a man of faith. So just getting that thing off us, getting that thing on. You know, we're not going to be provided for. We're not going to know what to do. Our past, we're too much of a mess because of our past. Let's just laugh at that again. Ha ha. Ha ha. And I'm not going to have the ability. I won't have the strength and the ability to do what I'm supposed to do anyway. Let's laugh at that. Ha ha. Ha ha. Whew. Whew. Thank you, Lord. That was fun. Yeah, just, you know, I wasn't even planning on preaching on promises. But there's something about promises here. This is a house of promises. This is a people of promises. And this meeting is about God supernaturally releasing grace in you to believe promises. And to understand that promises, God's promises, you know, I'm not into positive thinking. I'm into biblical optimism. And Hebrews, I'll close with this. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Don't stop talking hope. Don't let it go. Just say, I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. I don't know what God's going to do in America, but we've prayed. He's going to do it. I don't know about that problem, but there's always a solution. That just seems so bad that my heart hurts for you, but I'm going to believe God's going to meet us right now. Holy Spirit's working powerfully. And it is. But the reason that we can talk hope is because he who promises faithful. That's the reason we talk hope. And this is an incredible house of hope, a house of promises. God's given you a sword. He's the Snoopy anointing is on your ears to actually hear aha moments. He's training you how to hear. And what's going to happen is you're going to hear some of the same things like I heard. Steve, I haven't called you to fail. I've called you to succeed. You're going to hear the same things. You're going to say, that's God. And you're going to start fighting with it like never before. And, you know, you say, well, what if I get my hopes up and what I'm hoping for doesn't happen? Well, there's two ways to live. There's two ways to live. You can live a hopeless life and never be disappointed. Someone say, boo. Boo. You live a hopeless life and never be disappointed. Or you can live a hope-filled life with occasional disappointment. I choose option B. Not everything I've hoped for, not everything I believed has happened in my life. But I'll tell you this. When I went on the journey of believing and standing on God's promises, so much more has happened than when I was passive, just waiting for God to do something. So you guys receive this word? I'm going to have some powerful ladies come up in a moment. They're going to release some words. If you receive what was shared today, say, I receive it. I'll never be the same again. Something happened in me. It was supernatural. And it's going to influence the nations. Amen. Give God thanks. Give Him praise. Woo, yes, Lord. All right, Heather and Sohi, come on up. Just welcome them. And they, Heather's a third-year student at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry in Redding, California, and she is from the United Kingdom. Someone say yay. And Sohi was born in Korea. And by the way, you know, we celebrated yesterday, and many of us know there's been good news in Korea of just some reconciliation between North and South Korea that is starting. And you know, it's a miracle. It's a miracle what's happening there. And we just say, Father, keep it up. Free the North Koreans to be able to encounter you and encounter just blessing. And she was born there and then grew up in Virginia and now is a second-year student. And they've been just serving so well, and we want to just give them a few minutes today to share with you what they're hearing. So, Heather, are you starting?
Yeah.
Okay. Start, Heather. Yep, go for it.
So, the word I heard was the latter will be greater than the former. No? Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah, sorry. I'm like, after my little repeating earlier, I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. I slipped. That's good. And what I felt like the latter will be greater with the former was actually what you've been building here is this, like, generational legacy. And just even hearing you telling stories of, like, your relations building this building with, you know, coming over and building this building with their own hands, and you have deposited layer upon layer more glory and more glory, and you've built this incredible platform for the next generation. And I think what Steve shared about the testimony from South Africa, I feel like he's saying, double it, do it again. And that there's something in that testimony from South Africa for you guys to run with that is even greater than the legacy that was laid down over there. That you're not just going to have 300 or 400 people who are willing to show up on a night of midweek night. You're going to have hundreds and thousands. And it's just going to be bigger than you
wow.
know. So, yeah. It's true. You are a house of promise. There's incredible promise here. And I also, on that legacy thing, felt like the Father was saying that you've stewarded being mothers and fathers so well in this house, that you have raised up like another generation who are going to do the same, but also that you have earned the favor with the Lord to be mothers and fathers to the city. And I see there's going to be people from this congregation who are going to be mothers and fathers to New Jersey, to Jersey City, that you're actually going to be addressing the fatherless issues in your city. And, you know, there's going to be councils, there's going to be political leaders, there's going to be healthcare, there's going to be education, there's going to be drama and arts and theater, that you guys get to father and influence because you've stewarded well what it is to be a mother and father in this house. So, yeah, we just bless that.
There's so much history, family, and love in this place, in your church, and I just sense so much hope and faith in here, and God's presence is so thick, and I just was really was moved by His presence during the worship towards the end. It feels so good to be in here, and I just wanted to declare that you are powerful revivalists who are transforming families and communities around you. And you are powerful revivalists who are transforming families and communities around you. And I feel like even in your workplace, wherever you are actually transforming those lives. And lastly, God is giving you heaven's strategies and supernatural vision to build, increase, and expand. And you will influence the city and the nations. So I feel like, okay. Yeah, we just declare that God is giving you heaven's strategies and supernatural vision to build, increase, and expand, and you will influence the city and the nations. Amen.
Something else that I couldn't get away from this morning was John Alexander Dowie's healing wall that he used to have. Like, so many people got healed that they started to hang, like, the braces and the walking sticks and the wheelchairs, like, up on the wall as, like, kind of testimony and victory. And I feel like the healings that you're going to see here are going to outnumber what John Alexander Dowie saw in his lifetime. So, yeah, we bless you with victory healing walls. And I also saw that it's almost like you're going to pick up that mantle that was laid down, and you're going to run with that and take it further than before. And what I saw was actually not just like the classic like braces and the wheelchairs, but you're going to see like even modern medical things pinned to the wall. So like metal, heart pacemakers, things that, you know, modern science is kind of excelling in doing, hip replacements, things like that. You're going to see those things on the walls. You're going to take it further than the generations have taken it before. So, yeah.
And also, I feel like just to encourage all of you to not despise the small beginnings. And I really feel like God is going to give you downloads of these heavenly supernatural strategies and vision that's really going to build an increase, help you build an increase. And I just see it transforming and also to just dream bigger. I feel like God is saying, just it is beyond what you can imagine or think. Yeah.
I want to just speak into the worship, and I know Steve's got some with that too, but the word that I had was spiritual box breakers on your worship, that you are spiritual box breakers. And I actually thought I hadn't written it down. So in the middle of worship, I was like, writing it down, I've written it twice. So I was like, okay, Jesus, you're on this. But I feel like there is a box-breaking anointing on your worship. There's no limits to where the Lord wants to take you. And even as we were like praying over the young leaders last night, Marissa... I know I wanted to call you Hadassah, I'm sorry. Marissa and John Mark, like, there is such an anointing on your worship and the way that you're leading the team. And I just see the Lord's going to send you more musicians and more singers for you to pastor and father. And even as you were singing this morning, Marissa, I just heard the voices of, like, Misty Edwards, Katie Torwald, and Kim Smith, like those were the three kind of sounds I could hear coming out of you. I feel like you're going to take that and run with it further. And I actually felt like, I know you're singing like in a small building right now, but I saw you singing in stadiums, and I saw like thousands of people coming to the Lord because of your voice ringing out over this city. And so I just bless your vocal cords right now. I just release a fresh anointing of fire on your song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. And Sue, I just want to honor your faithfulness to mentoring the young adults. And what I heard for you is that there's going to be a movement of worship released from your house. Just because you host people so well, and but also just the lifestyle of worship that you've cultivated in that house. Like, even as I was like sleeping in your living room, I just felt like the presence of God was so strong because you are in there worshiping in that kitchen, and it's just echoing around that house, but it's like being released. And it's almost like it's kind of been like filling up this kind of pressure tank, and it's going to explode, and it's just going to be this beautiful fragrance that's released over the city that's going to bring freedom and deliverance to so many people. So, and I just see even like nations being set free by the song that you sing in New Jersey, that people who come from the other nations are going to hear the song of the Lord and they're going to take it back to their nation. So yeah, I just bless you in that.
Wanted to honor Sue and John, who has hosted us while we were here so well. And when I was thinking of you guys, so I feel like you guys are both like Coca-Cola. I don't drink soft soda, soft drinks, but if you look at the taglines from all the years, it says there's a whole bunch of them, but it's one of the ones that was highlighted to me was it's the real thing. And it's the real thing. You can't beat the real thing. And there's also ones like refreshing. And I just feel like you guys bring so much, like I feel you guys are a king and a queen who hosts people regardless of their status. And you welcome and you father and mother so well. And I feel like as you have hosted people, you have hosted even kings and queens that you are not aware of. And I feel like, again, that as you are the real deal, the real thing, just like Coca-Cola, I just feel like there is so much that you are actually fathering, mothering cities and nations. And you have no idea the impact that you are making as you father and mother this next generation, and it is just mind blowing. And yeah, I just feel like you guys are gonna get to heaven and see, like, oh my gosh, yeah, the impact that we have made. So we just bless you and honor you.
So good. You ladies just stay up here, and I got a few random things I want to release, and some of these are, you know, as I say them, some of your spirits are gonna leap, and that's for you. All right, so just one thing I want to say is that I hear these words. Somebody's to hear, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Yeah, you're going to be more than okay, but someone just needs to hear, you're going to be okay. I also heard that provision is coming from a source you do not expect. Provision is coming from a source you do not expect. I'm hearing that doors are opening into the educational system, a huge door of favor that God's putting on somebody or somebody's here. I'm also hearing that that people's backs are getting healed in this meeting. People's backs, somebody's back is getting healed, and just. Yeah, even just, just test that out. And if that's manifesting, just to interrupt the meeting, feel free to do that. I'm hearing someone who's battled self-hatred that the Lord is bringing deliverance. He's already started that so much. But that you actually have a calling to free other people from self-hatred. That you have a calling. And so because your own battle with self-hatred gives you compassion for people who battle self-hatred, and so that you're actually, you know, gives you compassion plus strategies of what God has done in you to actually help you like yourself. Why don't you just say, I really like me.
I really like me.
Yeah. And what's your name right here?
Me?
Yeah.
Brent.
Brandon. Brandon. Hey, Brandon, you know, I like you. And yeah. And Brandon, I hear over you the words courage movement. courage. You're a courageous man. You're more courageous than you know. And you've had more successes than failures in your life. And God sees you as a success. And I hear over 1 Samuel 14, it says, Jonathan and his armor bearer, two men with courage, started a revival. And you see God speaking to you out of 1 Samuel chapter 14. You're going to see some things in there that's going to just boom. And the Lord's going to do something. He's going to give you an idea that's going to seem ridiculous. Like he gave Jonathan a ridiculous idea. An idea that's going to seem ridiculous. But it's going to lead somewhere. It's going to lead somewhere. You're a great leader. I got a book called Culture of Empowerment, How to Champion People. It takes a quote by my pastor, Bill Johnson. My goal is not to build a big church, but to build big people. There's a big people building anointing on you. And you're entering a season where the Lord is, there's some things that are seemingly holding you back. You're entering a season where God's going to give you strategies for those things. Things you haven't thought about before of how to actually approach those things. And it's good. So can I give you this book? And David, thank you so much, you know, and just you, I just hear these words. You're a powerful leader. You're an innovative leader. You're a creative leader. You're a persistent leader. And I just see the Lord, just even some of the dreams, you know, that you have and, you know, just for this place and the ministry and where it just seems like it's impossible to step into some of the things. I see the Lord actually putting faith in you that it's possible like never before. And there's going to be a way. And there's a way. And just, you know, just as a father in our movement, we're just proud of you guys. Proud of you. Proud of you guys and what you guys have done. And what you stand for. What you guys stand for is so incredible. Alan, Ronnie, thank you so much. You're special in my heart. I'll never be the same after being around these Italians. I mean, yeah, it's been the Italian influence. I can't wait to go tell Wendy. Man, I mean, the food, the passion, the you know, the spontaneity, just you guys have got something. Thank you. And you guys are, the Lord is increasing favor on you. Favor. There's favor on you, and there's a season of where the Lord, I just see him showing you favor in the Bible, and just there's a whole teaching of favor that's going to come through you guys that's going to release favor on many others, and you're going to walk in higher levels of favor than ever before. So we bless the house. We bless Urban Mission. We've got a few things. If you would like a declaration list, these are like about 25, 30 declarations that you can say morning and night. I actually dare you to read this list morning and night for 30 days. I dare you to see what happens. You want to pass those out? And then any of you who wants to sign up for our newsletter, Igniting Hope Ministries, we've got some books in the back. I'll pass this around. We'll find a pin here, too. And we do a lot of things in our ministry. We have an annual negativity fast. We have, we're starting a declarations experiment. Some of you have already signed up for that. If you don't want to sign up, that's fine. But if you want to connect with our ministry, please sign up, and we would love to do that. I do a 60-second video hope injection on Igniting Hope Facebook and Igniting Hope Instagram every day, pretty much every day. A 60-second video hope injection. Today's hope injection was a 60-second thing. Three things to do if you regret a decision you made. Three things to do if you regret a decision you made. That's on Igniting Hope Instagram. And then we've got, you know, just a lot of things there. So bless you. In the name of Jesus, I release an irrevocable blessing over this ministry. Urban Mission, I release a blessing of increase, provision, protection, radical conversions, discipleship, influence in government, schools, business, arts and entertainment, into the church realm and every realm, and just breakthrough in families, breakthrough miracles happen through your ministry like never before. Even new buildings and new buildings for the increase in the days ahead. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, so I don't know where Pastor Dave is, but we are going to release some prophetic words over you guys. So let me just. Oh, here he is.
So Heather, Steve just. Just how many were blessed by our time here this morning, huh? I just really want to encourage you to take whatever it is you got and war with that word, right? And Steve didn't do what he did yesterday, but I'm going to cheat, right? Because yesterday he asked us, you know, to tell us. Well, why don't you do that real quick? Can you do that real quick?
Wow, I got so excited about my message, I forgot what I said I was going to do. Yeah, I asked you, what did you hear? Who wants to say something you heard? God didn't call us to fail, he called us to succeed. Who else? Yeah. What you're hearing is attached to God's provision for you in the future. Mark 4:24-25. How you hear, with the measure you hear, it'll be measured back to you. Someone else. You heard something. Yeah, go. Get excited about testimonies. Woo, yes. Mary pulled the timetable of miracles that were reserved for the future into her present. Yeah. You'll never be the same again after today. God loves to take people like me and do things that are impossible. Taking the sword of the Spirit and killing some things with it. Yes. What were you going to say, Al? You're sidetracked with that comment. You forgot. Well, we'll come back to you. My faith is not in my ability to get it right, but in his ability to finish what he started in me. Encourage yourself. Imagine that. Some of us just need to get mad. And it's our encouragement. Come on, Steve. You can do this.
God is so good at turning bad things good that theologies have been created saying that he sent the bad things.
God is so good at turning bad things into good that theologies have been created saying he sent the bad in the first place. That's just funny. Oh, yeah, all things work together for good. It backfired. Boom. That negative turned into a positive. Whew. It's going to be okay. Wow. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? You know, it says in the Bible it came to pass. Aren't you glad it didn't say it came to stay? Ha ha. It came to stay. That's funny. It came to stay.
You got to be selective in what you hear,
Wow. Jesus said in Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear. Just focus on what you're hearing, not only with your ears, but in your thinking. What's your self-talk? And I'll tell you this, if your self-talk doesn't give you hope, you need to listen to something else. Oh, new. You, no. You are. And when you start liking yourself, start loving yourself, it's a good thing. So we bless that. Yes. Oh, yeah. He took back the keys, and the devil doesn't have authority on the earth anymore. We do. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, the devil thought he, let's just laugh at that. The devil thought he killed Jesus. That's a good one. All right, I think we got it.